Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone. And those of you who haven't heard Pastor Crone before, why, you've really missed an excellent presentation. Pastor Crone has come up with a 10-part series, 10 DVDs, called The Final Countdown, beginning with 10 and moving towards 1. And today we're going to be at number 6, dealing with the wickedness of our society. And, of course, he talks at some places about the Israeli people, the Jews, talks about science and technology, all the things that are discussed, really discussed, literally thousands of years ago, pointing towards this ultimate culmination of society when the Lord will return again. Could these be the times that people have talked about? Well, of course, people say, well, they've been talking about that for 2,000 years, and that is true. And yet, when you hear the presentation in its total, why, of course, you'll be very impressed, and it's almost beyond comprehension that all of these things could be happening during our lifetimes or during the preceding ceremony, a century, so different than any other time in all of history. So, without further ado, Pastor Billy Crone of the Niagara Baptist Church, thanks very much for being with us again.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and pick up the story there?
Well, you know, and like you said, we've already covered quite a bit of material with the Final Countdown. Of course, the Final Countdown, the whole premise is to take a look at 10 different signs that God, frankly, has given the world as a heads up so that you can know when it's getting near. You know, a lot of people would scoff, certainly, about the sign of the times and even attack God's character and say, well, hey, if this stuff was really happening and if there was this kind of imminent danger ahead, you would think if God is real, he would let us know. Well, he has. It's called in the scripture. Unfortunately, at the same time that these things are unfolding before our eyes on such a rapid scale, in such intimate detail, at the same time, Bible prophecy seems to be on the decline. A lot of false prophecy seems to be on the rise, and but unfortunately, Bible prophecy is on the decline in the church. It just really, one, drives me up the wall, but two, I understand that I think it's a spiritual issue. I think it's part of the enemy just not wanting people to understand the game plan. Because when God lays it out for us, because he cares, he gives us a heads up. He lets us know in advance what to expect so that we could be prepared before it's too late. And that's what we did the Final Countdown, looking at 10 different signs. There's more, but we dealt with just 10 of them, so you get an idea that you need to wake up. And this one that we're dealing with tonight is the sign that we picked. It was called the Rise of Wickedness. And this one is kind of like the last one that we did with the rise of falsehood, with like the false Christ and the false teachers, specifically the New Age movement. And when you think of the New Age movement, most people think that, hey, those are those wacky people, you know, that hop up and down and go to retreats and wear triangles on their head and do all kinds of weird stuff. You know, I'm not into that stuff. Well, they're very slick, and what they've done over the years is they've just repackaged their teachings into different arenas, and they've gotten people to swallow their lies that way. And we saw last time they'd done that with the environmental movement, with the healthy body craze, vegetarian movement, and you know, again, there's nothing wrong with those per se. I'm not sitting there promoting, yeah, let's go destroy the planet with toxic waste. But you better be careful, because these things have been hijacked to promote New Age teachings. And it's the same thing with this wickedness. What we're going to see is that in order to pull off this level of wickedness in a short amount of time, they've repackaged their lies, and we've swallowed them, and now we're paying the price for it.
Will you hang on there? We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone right here at Radio Liberty. Well, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, and so the Apostle Paul, he says clearly that in the last days, he says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, but mark this, there's going to be terrible times in the last days. Well, how do you know? Well, he continues. He says, here it is. A people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. He says, have nothing to do with them. And so Paul's very replete, and he simply says, you know, hey, listen, here's a heads up. When you see this arise on the scene, this wickedness, and as I read through every one of those, you name one of those attributes, wicked attributes, that is not prevalent in our society today. I just read an article this afternoon, of course, about that boy that brutally shot his dad. It's just like, because some voices were telling him in his head he had to do it. I mean, and these are youngsters. I mean, it's getting worse and worse. Now, here's my point with this. Paul not only clearly said that you can expect this level of wickedness just prior to the last days, but Jesus also said the same thing. He said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, his second coming. And if you look in the account in Genesis of the days of Noah, it clearly says that the reason why God caused the deluge was because the heart of man was continually wicked. It's so much so that it grieved God. And so Paul, and of course Jesus, basically says, hey, it's going to do the exact same thing. You're going to see a level of wickedness in society like never before. And hence it makes sense. You know, you think, well, why would God cause a seven-year tribulation? Well, part of it's his judgment. His wrath pouring out the earth. It's not like he's doing something unfair. You're going to get a level of wickedness just at the same of the first judgment with the flood. And so, but here's my point with this, is this one is kind of like the last sign with the rise of falsehood. You know, we're so immersed in it, it's just really hard for people to kind of grasp the whole picture of what's going on. And it's this one. We are so immersed now in a wicked society that we're no longer shocked by it. You turn on your news, what is it? It's rotten news. It's 45 people blew up with a bomb. This person got shot. This person did this atrocious behavior. This person killed somebody. And look at the courtroom. They showed no remorse. I mean, that's common every single day, day in, day out. It reminds me like one guy said. He says, if you want to understand what the ocean's like, don't ask the fish. You think, well, I should ask the fish. Well, no, because the fish are biased. They don't have an outside perspective. And we are so immersed in this wicked society that people are clueless unless you get God's perspective.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Krohn is just talking about the wickedness of society. And this is, we almost take it for granted now. We listen to the news, and we find out about killings and mass killings and super mass killings and children killing their parents and parents killing their children. And we don't stop and think. What we're seeing is a total destruction of our society. This is not the society I grew up in, you know, 70 years ago, 60 years ago. America is changing and becoming wicked, but this is wickedness all throughout the world. And this was prophesied thousands of years ago, because I will tell you, we live in a far more wicked world today than we did 50 or 60 years ago. You pick up the story there, Pastor.
Well, that's just it. You know, the scoffer would come along and say, well, okay, so what? So, you know, there's always been wickedness. Well, yeah, there's always been wickedness, but not on the scale that we see today. Once again, that's the difference, and that's what we continually bring out in the final countdown. And, you know, let me just give you a reference point. It wasn't just that long ago, about 30 years ago. Let me read to you the top discipline problems in schools. It used to be talking. That was the big one. And so was chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, and not putting paper in the wastebasket. Ooh, those rebels. And to show you the fruits of a society, because Paul gives the answer, he says, why did it get so wicked so fast? Why are the last days going to be so wicked? He says right there in that text, people will be lovers of themselves, not lovers of God. Self is going to come first. And to show you the fruits of a society that loves itself more than God, and how fast that is going to produce wickedness, let's now take a look at the behavior we got to put up with in 30 years. Remember, it used to be talking, chewing gum, and running in the halls. Okay, now violent crimes in our society is up 995%. The inmate population has grown from about 200,000 to nearly 2.5 million or about one out of every 99 adults. America right now has more people per capita in prison than any nation on earth. Unmarried couples living together up 725%. Illegitimate births up 400%. The divorce rate is now 60%. I've seen some stats as high as 70. A murder occurs right now every 23 minutes. A rape occurs every 6 minutes. An aggravated assault occurs every 48 seconds. An abortion, the murder of a child, takes place every 20 seconds. A burglary occurs every 8 seconds. Sexually transmitted diseases among 10 to 14-year-olds is up 385%. Unwed pregnancies among 10 to 14-year-olds is up 553%. Teenage suicide is up 200%. Every day in our country, 13 youth commit suicide, 16 are murdered, 1,000 become mothers, 100,000 bring guns to schools, 2,200 drop out, 500 begin using drugs every day, 1,000 begin drinking alcohol every day, 3,500 are assaulted, 630 are robbed, and 80 are raped. In fact, more people have died in America in the last 30 years alone from murders and suicides than from the wars in the history of the United States. Now, that's just in 30 years. I don't know about you, but I'd say, yeah, there's always been wickedness, but not like we see in the scale right now. It is creeping up there fast, exactly like the Bible said would happen when you're approaching the end days. And again, none of this is going to make sense. You're not going to get that outside perspective. You're going to be like the biased fish in the ocean, unless you get God's perspective and you get out of the fishbowl, if you will. And this is one of those signs. He says, when you see this society rapidly approaching, which is exactly what's happening, he said, you better wake up. I mean, every time you turn on the news and you see these reports, this is what, if you're thinking biblically, if you're discerning the days in which we live in, this should be your thought. Oh, no, I'm in the last days. I better get right with God. I ain't got time to waste. I better get motivated. But we don't do that. And again, this is our premise for the final countdown. We didn't just want to hit you with one and two. We played the role of the scoffer. We so many video clips and so many things, and just to reach out, because we firmly believe that we are in the last days. And we're trying to do our best because we care, and that's why God gives us these signs, because He cares too, to wake people up. This is not a game. I tell people all the time, don't take my word for it. Check it out. Do the homework yourself. I challenge you. But deal with reality. Don't hide your head in the sand. This is not a game. I think part of it, too, is we've been conditioned. We've been fatted up for the slaughter. We've been so conditioned. I mean, your average person today, it's the same technique they used in the Roman society. It's called bread and circus. And, how do you keep the populace in line? Well, you give them bread, they found out, and you give them circus. You give them entertainment. And you look at your average Joe today. I don't care if it's Christian or non-Christian. It seems to be the same all across the board in general. But I don't care who rules me. I don't care what you do. You just guarantee that the economy's going to be fine. I can have some sort of retirement. Give me my football, my sports, and my six-pack of beer, and I don't care who rules me. And what we're seeing today is the fruits of that. They've turned us, not only dumbed down America, we'll get to that in a second, but they've turned us into a bunch of spineless people. And it's crazy because now more than ever, we need men and women who will stand up and who will get their heads out of the sand and get motivated. And so we are just trying to do our part in trying to get the truth out. Hey, you do what you want with the truth, but hey, at least you can't say you weren't warned. Okay? And before you say we're a bunch of wackos, I just again challenge you, check it out for yourself. Then call us a wacko. How did they get these people? How did they get such an explosion of wickedness? Now, that was just 30 years. How did we get such an explosion of wickedness in such a short amount of time in our former Judeo-Christian society, in our godly heritage, in our Christian nation? How did we go so fast to turn from loving God to literally loving ourselves? And that's exactly what Paul said was the root of it. Well, again, just like with the rise of falsehood, they've come in and they've repackaged their lies and we've swallowed it. And they did it in three different ways. The first way they did it was at the turn of the last century with a wicked worldview called humanism. Now, humanism is basically the worldview that is the problem that Paul said was going to cause this. Man is the center of all things, not God. It is completely diametrically opposed to Christianity, but don't take my word for it. Listen to some of the statements from the Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2. Here's their belief systems that they birthed, again, at the beginning of the last century. They said, faith in a prayer-hearing God, assumed to live and care for persons, to hear and understand their prayers, to be able to do something about them is an unproved and outmoded faith. They said, we find insufficient evidence for the belief in the existence of a supernatural. We begin with humans, not God. It says, we do not accept as true the literal interpretation of the Old and New Testaments. And they say, salvation, based on mere affirmation, appears to be harmful, diverting people with false hopes of heaven hereafter. Listen to this. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Now, you put that back about 1900, and we still had some sort of, you know, moral Judeo-Christian ethic in our society at that time. You're thinking, hey, man, there's no way these people are going to get this into our country. This is going to be slammed down, lickety-split. Well, again, they went underground. And believe it or not, what they're using for their platform and have been using as their platform for decades, not just Hollywood, okay, it's not just the media, it is the educational system, okay? Now, many people don't realize that the one of these, not just signers, but most people think he was the majority of the author of the Humanist Manifesto was John Dewey. John Dewey is the one who's celebrated and given high recognition by the NEA, the National Education Association. He's considered the father of modern education. This guy, his, quote, Humanist Manifesto, many people believe was just the, quote, unquote, American version of the Communist Manifesto. And he wrote his, the whole thing on the basis of evolution and humanistic teachings and to be taught in school. This was that guy. Most people, no, I mean, John Dewey didn't believe that. He wasn't trying to cram that down his throat. Listen to this quote from him. He said, every teacher should realize he's a social servant set apart for the maintenance of the proper social order and the securing of the right social growth. In this way, the teacher always is the prophet of the true God and the ushering in of the true kingdom of God. Excuse me? Now, he even freely admits it, that his whole premise in getting his foot in the door and using the educational system was going to promote this humanistic worldview that man is the center of all things, not God. And guess what? That's exactly what's happened. People today, it's just wacky. It's like, hey, why don't you just get a clue? You know, you send your kid to public school today, it's get it out of your brain. It's no longer about teaching them how to read and write and arithmetic, you know, the three R's, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. That's not what it's there for. The public classroom is an indoctrination system to seduce people and to train people into this humanistic thinking. And it's working. This is why we have such wickedness in our society. Kids today, you know, people go, why do they keep doing it? Why do they keep doing it? I send my kid there in kindergarten to learn how different colors and stuff, and they're teaching about homosexuality. Why are they doing this? I go there, and my first grader, I'm thinking they're going to learn how to read, and next thing you know, they're being taught about globalism and how to be a great citizen in the new world order. Well, it's because that's what schools have become. And this is what I'm saying. I don't understand why people have to put their head in the sand. These are their actual quotes. I'm not making this up. And the reason why they're utilizing this is because they're creating a dumb society. They don't want you to learn. They're not telling you and teaching you how to think. They're teaching you what to think. Okay? And you need a dumb or gullible society to swallow your lies as well as overturn the Judeo-Christian worldview, because that's what you need to prepare people for the last days Antichrist worldview. Remember, the Antichrist is the ultimate humanist. Man is the center of all things, not God. And so you have to get rid of God being the center, because there's going to come a point on planet Earth when the whole world, who chooses to do so, unfortunately, they're going to pay the price for it and receive the mark, is going to worship a man as God. Okay? Now, you have to get rid of the Judeo-Christian ethic if you're going to pull it off. And humanism has come in under the radar in these last days to pull it off. And that's exactly what's happened. They're using the classrooms to do it, and they're still in there today. This is one of the reasons why my wife and I have chosen a homeschool. We felt, as parents, we are going to stand accountable to God for our children, and that we are also accountable for the education of our children, not the state. And I would just implore people that you need to seriously consider, bare minimum, you better get involved in what your kids are being taught, and you need to consider grabbing the reins back, because they are brainwashing your kids. They freely admit those are not your kids. They belong to them, and they're preparing them for the new world order.
Well, we're going to have to interrupt you there. Of course, our guest is Pastor Billy Crone. We're talking about the final countdown, point six, the sixth of the DVDs, and we'll be back in just a moment to continue this discussion. Yes, the world is becoming more wicked. Pastor Croninger right ahead.
Well, again, you know, people are like, well, that's a pretty bold statement for you to say about that, Pastor Billy, about the schools or these indoctrination centers and humanism.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
Formed the original socialist commune back in Indiana, the New Harmony, Indiana, back in about 1820. And Orestes Brownstein then wrote about the secret society that was formed to take over education. But all the rest of the quotations that Pastor Billy uses actually come from the humanists who are using education to destroy the faith in God of our children. This is what it's all about. And you wonder why your children revolt against their parents. It is because they've been programmed that way in school, and the average parent has no idea what really goes on in school and why they are forced to send their children to school. Well, the reason they're forced to send their children to school is not because society wants, of course, their children to get an education, because they're not getting an education. It is because the people who run society want to indoctrinate those children and destroy their faith in God. Go right ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, listen to this. This is exactly what this Harvard professor says that they're doing. He says every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill. Why? Because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents. It's exactly what you just said, Dr. Monteith. Toward a belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It is up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. Now, these are direct quotes, so you can scoff all you want, but hey, listen, I'm not making this stuff up. These guys freely admitted that they are using the educational system, not just the media, okay, not just Hollywood, but they're using the educational system to not educate, but indoctrinate people in their humanistic worldview. Now, again, this tells us exactly what the Apostle Paul said is the reason why you're going to see such a massive rush of wickedness, which is a sign that you're approaching the last days. Because humanism has come on, it's told people you got to love yourself more than God. Man's the center of all things, not God. Two, it's preparing people to worship the Antichrist, who's going to be the ultimate humanist. He's going to declare himself to be a God, yet he's just a man. Okay, but three, people have no idea that it's this belief system that is going to be used to dig their own grave, so to speak. Because God is the author of life, but if you get God out of the equation, then man gets to dictate who gets to live and who doesn't. Don't believe me? Listen to another thing from the Humanist Manifesto. They say, we include the recognition of an individual's right to die with dignity, euthanasia, suicide, birth control, and abortion. And what most people don't realize, well, why would you want to promote that? Because part of their agenda is for population control. And see, there's one common denominator with all of those realities, with euthanasia, even the promotion of homosexuality, birth control, abortion. Why do they purposely allow diseases to continue? Why do they turn a blind eye to genocide? Why is there forced sterilization going on? Because they all have one thing in common. They reduce the population. Now, the sick thing is, abortion alone is now estimated to have murdered 1 billion babies. Okay, that's just abortion. But what's really sick is the population issue is a myth. It's an absolutely myth. We are not overcrowded. In fact, it's been estimated that the whole state or the whole world's population could fit in the state of Arkansas. In fact, if you were to give roughly about 1,000 square feet per person on the planet, they'd all fit in the state of Texas. We are not overcrowded. And people, you say that, and people really look at you like you're a Lulu. But I'm telling you, you do the math. Do the math. Take the billion population and times it by the square footage and then figure out what the square footage of Texas is. Do the math yourself. I challenge you. We are not overcrowded. This is a lie, so that they can dictate where we get to live and who gets to live. And you don't think they're doing it? Right now, California just passed what's called not doctor-assisted suicide, but nurse-assisted suicide. They approved a measure, Governor Schwarzenegger approved a measure allowing nurses to sedate, dehydrate, and starve depressed or confused individuals that they determined to be terminally ill. Okay? And notice, first of all, man is not the author of life, it's God. But see, now you get God out of the equation, then all this wonderful stuff, yes, I'm being sarcastic, gets to happen. And so it's not even a doctor gets to make the call, not that that's right in the first place, okay? But now a nurse is, and it's not even a nurse, they've even delegated it to a physician's assistant or like a worker at a nursing home or something. They get to dictate right now, laws are being passed in three different states in our country, that they are the ones to determine whether you could live or not. It's happening right now.
Well, we live in an increasingly wicked society, and people are going to have to understand this was all prophesied. It didn't have to happen. We could have opposed. The church could have stood up and said, there's nothing in the Constitution. There's no wall of separation between church and state. This is all concocted. But, of course, the church has been silenced, tragically. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor Billy Crone, and go right ahead.
Well, you know, but again, that's just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. These people are deadly serious about this population control. You know, you got people out there like Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Planned Parenthood. She said, the elimination of human weeds is what she called for because it prolonged the lives of the unfit. She called for the segregation of morons, misfits, and the maladjusted, and for the sterilization of genetically inferior races. And believe it or not, that's the founder of Planned Parenthood. That was the premise of starting that organization. But she's not alone. I mean, Dr. Sam Keen, he's a New Age writer. He said, we must speak far more clearly about the sexuality, contraception, abortion, about what? Values that control the population. Because the ecological crisis, in short, is the population crisis. You cut the population by 90%, there's not enough people to do a lot of great ecological damage. And again, as I said, well, fine, you want to do that? Let's start with your family. Not that I'm promoting that, I'm just using that against his argument. But it's always somebody else's family, and that's just it. These people actually believe that they're going to be on the top of the pile. They're playing with Satan himself. I think some of these people, they have no idea what they're playing with. They don't realize this is a spiritual battle, okay? But I do believe that people fully understand that they are linking arms with Satan himself. The illusion is they think they're going to come out on top. But if he gets his way, they're going to be dead too. Satan hates mankind because we are created in the image of God, and he'll do anything he can to annihilate the planet. And the scripture says, in the time of tribulation, unless God shorten the time, the entire human race will be wiped out. That's how evil of a character we're dealing with here. These people are being fooled. They're not going to land on top. They're going to pay their dues as well. But the whole thing is based on a myth. We are not overcrowded. Get in a plane, drive in a car, look around. Look, when you're in the air, look on the ground. Look, this is a lie. It's being used against us to usher in this Antichrist system. And it's already happening, not just here in America. Of course, you know, it's been going on for quite some time with China. China, on a regular basis, orders abortions, tens of thousands of them, and sterilizations, when they find out that people aren't living up to their one-child policy level. You got people traipsing around the planet, like Ted Turner, who says his figure is even higher than Dr. Keene's. He says a total population, this is on the whole planet, he says of 250 to 300 million people, that's a 95% decline from present levels, would be ideal. He said people who abhor China one-child policy are dum-dums. Excuse me? You know, and this is a major supporter of the UN. You know,
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Pastor Billy Crone. And, Pastor, before we go on, I would like you to go ahead and get your website out. Tell people how they can get in touch with your ministry.
Yeah, you can check us out at www.niagarafrontierbible.com. NIAGARAFRONTIERBIBLE.com, NiagaraFrontierBible.com, or you can just Google my name, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N as in Nancy E, Billy Crone. Just Google that, and that'll take you where you need to go.
In fact, really, there a lot of fascinating material there. We carry the final countdown. We're going to be carrying. They should be in here by tomorrow. His set of four or five tape set on RFID identification. Another excellent one is his four or five tape set on creation, creation and evolution. I think you'll find all of these fascinating, and I think you'll really enjoy that. You can get the final countdown. Part one has five DVDs in it. Part two has five DVDs. Very well done. A lot of video clips have really helped to reinforce the reality of what's going on. Because, of course, it's one thing to see it, it's another thing to read it, it's another thing to watch the unfolding on video. A very effective tool designed by the enemy, but we might as well use it as well, and Pastor Crone does that very well. We'll pick up the story from there. We've just been talking already about what's going on in our schools, the total breakdown of the morality of our society, the plan for population control, a legalized euthanasia, And then this overall plan to kill off the majority of the people on Earth. And people say that could not be true. And yet, of course, I've written extensively on this. We have a great DVD by Alex Jones called Endgame, which goes into population control. And Pastor Crone actually covers this beautifully as far as this section of the final countdown. So pick up the story there.
Well, you know, and again, how they've been able to pull this off in such a short amount of time is, again, like we talked about last time with the rise of falsehood, they've repackaged it. And we've just dealt with the first of three, quote-unquote, new packages that they got us to swallow this lie. That remember, because Paul said the premise, why is this going to be so wicked of a society, and why is it going to happen so fast? Because people will be lovers of themselves instead of God. And so the first one that they've repackaged and got us to swallow this lie and utilizing the educational system as just one of the tools to indoctrinate people in the lie to overturn the Judeo-Christian society is humanism. But the second one that they came in, and pretty much it had its roots around the same time, and that's with secular psychology with men like Freud and Jung and Maslow and others. And, of course, Maslow came later. But then Freud and Jung. But still, they have a premise. Now, remember, the text exactly said people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So they're going to love themselves. Now, we have this phrase drilled in our heads over and over again that we must love ourselves from at all costs. You know, self-love, self-esteem, self-respect. Yet the Bible teaches, Jesus taught, he says that if you're going to be his disciple, if anyone would come after me, he says the first thing you must do is deny yourself. The scripture also says to let esteem others better than yourselves. The Bible says that who you're supposed to love first and foremost is God. Second, you're supposed to love your neighbor. You're third in line. And by the way, that passage that they try to use that you got to love yourself never says that is a commandment. Jesus said there's two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself, meaning you don't have a problem loving yourself. In fact, oftentimes that is our problem. He says you need to switch that and apply it to God, number one, and other people, number two. But these guys have come on with this lie, and they've told us, no, God can't be first anymore, just like with humanism. Humanism is more the teaching. This is more the heart, and they say, which is a worship. It's really a wicked worship. It's self-worship is what it is. And they've come down the pike and said, you've got to love yourself. Now, again, that's exactly what Paul said. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves instead of God. And this is rampant. It's all over churches. It's crazy. You try to address this, and people, boy, you talk about fighting words. And it's crazy. And I tell people all the time, you know, I came out of the occult, and I dabbled in just about everything, it seems, and even including Satanism. And I've quoted Satanists who are still in Satanism. I've showed video clips of them laughing and mocking at the church with this teaching that you got to love yourself more than anything. And because that is the number one law of Satanism. They're laughing at the church because they're teaching people to be good Satanists. The number one law of Satanism is do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's Satanism. It's all about you. It's all about you. That's Satanism. You're teaching somebody to be a good Satanist. The second most important law of Satanism is called the law of self-awareness. They say that man is a divine being within and that life's purpose is to realize that. And when this is achieved, you now realize that you are God. And you know what? That's the lie from the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, the devil says, for God knows that when you eat of it, when you disobey him, when you stop loving him first, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. And people have no idea that this stuff is teaching people to, frankly, be good Satanists.
Okay? In fact, I think it's so interesting. Oprah Winfrey, of course, and her program, which is watched by countless millions of Americans. I mean, she's highly paid. She has a couple of $1 billion. Then she has prime time in the afternoon on CBS. But she's been pushing Rhonda Burns and her book, The Secret, which is sold because of Oprah, I'm sure, 7-8 million copies. And then the DVD that goes with that, that sold 3 or 4 million copies last time I checked. And it's really being distributed all throughout the world. But if you read it through, of course, as you get to the end, you look for the secret, and they tell you. Well, first of all, you can tap into this other force that's out there that will remake the world according to the way you want it. But the other thing is that you are God. Well, that came right out of course, the Garden of Eden, when the serpent told Eve, you can become as God. And that's exactly what is being pushed. On our television today by Oprah Winfrey and all the other people pushing, Rhonda Burns, Larry King, the others, that, you know, if we just understood that we ourselves are God, we do not need any direction from outside. And people say, that's crazy talk. Well, you may think it's crazy talk, but the millions of people cheering for Oprah will say that she's got to know what she's doing because she's got so much money. She must be successful. And she is. She's gone over to the other side. Go right ahead.
Well, and that's just it. Like one guy had said, he says, you know, Oprah, frankly, is the most dangerous woman on the planet because she has, what, 50 million viewers and who knows how much of a world influence. And you're right. She's hopped on the bandwagon and she's propagating this as well. And again, this is preparing people. Again, you put it back in the Bible prophecy frame, it all makes sense. Why would they push humanism? Why would they purposely seek to, quote-unquote, as the one humanist said, kill the God of Christianity? Well, if you're going to prepare people for the New World Order and the worship of the Antichrist as God, you have to do it. That's a common-sense thing, if that's your agenda. And two, if you're going to prepare people for a wicked worship to let you get to the point where you're going to worship a man as God, then you got to trick people into thinking, one, either they are God, or that love of self has to come first more than God. It's all preparing people for the last days society that's being built, the Antichrist kingdom. Okay, there's a purpose behind it. And again, none of this will make sense unless you look at God's time plan. And again, hence the whole premise of why we're trying to get this information out. Now again, you're saying, well, that's a pretty bold statement to say that this is, you know, this self-love, self-esteem stuff is, you know, Satanist, you know, stuff, and teach people how to be a good Satanist. Well, one, you know, do a background study on what Satanism teaches and put them side by side, and you're going to see it. But two, again, just like with the humanists, don't take my word for it, has anybody ever done their homework on who are the founding fathers of the people that are promoting this self-love, self-esteem stuff? Sigmund Freud was not just an evolutionist, but he's the one who came up with the idea that this whole idea of God was just a myth made up by our forefathers to cope with life. He was also a believer in the positive health benefits of cocaine, and he was a user of it himself for many years. He was also severely addicted to nicotine. He smoked about 20 cigars a day, which eventually killed him. And you talk about the ultimate hypocrite, okay? Freud refused to be psychoanalyzed himself by his own teachings. Excuse me? I don't think so. I think that's called a hypocrite. Carl Jung made a wooden man out of a ruler, and he called it mannequin, and he kept it in a wooden case, and he frequently talked to it in times of trouble. And I'm supposed to go to this guy when I'm in times of trouble, and he talks to a ruler? Excuse me? He also had a mystical experience while sitting on a rock one time where he couldn't tell if he was the rock or the rock was him. And I'm supposed to go to him for advice? People don't realize that Carl Jung was also, now these are the founding fathers of this teaching that you gotta love yourself, of secular psychology. Okay? He was involved in the occult. Okay? He studied their teachings. He attended seances. He listened to mediums. He practiced necromancy. And he had daily contact with disembodied spirits. Okay? I.e. demons. I didn't say that. Here's a direct quote from Carl Jung himself. He called this demon that he communicated with Philemon. And here's what he says. He says, Philemon and other figures of my fantasies brought home to me the crucial insight that there are things in the psyche which I do not produce, but which produce themselves and have their own life. Philemon represented a force which was not myself. In my fantasies, I held conversations with him, and he said things which I had not consciously thought, for I observed clearly that it was he who spoke, not I. Excuse me? So he gets his inspiration from this voice, from this spirit, that's called a demon. And I'm supposed to listen to that guy instead of the Word of God? Not only that, let me throw in just one other guy, Abraham Maslow. Now, he is one of the big ones that have promoted this self-love, self-esteem. Did you know, and this is a secular source, okay, that his motivation for his life's work, okay, where he came to the teaching, get this, direct quote, was his absolute hatred for his mother. And I'm supposed to listen to this guy? He's supposed to help me put my family back on track? Excuse me? This is what I'm saying. People, you wake up. There's an agenda going on here. But again, it's not going to make sense until you have God's plan for the end of ages. We are being prepared for the last day society, and this is not only giving you the answer as to why there's such a massive, quick rise of wickedness, which, by the way, is a sign we're in the last days, but it is these wicked teachings that are preparing our hearts for the time of the tribulation of the Antichrist system. But that's not all. The Bible's very specific. That's just two of the ways that they have gotten us to buy into this wicked society. The third thing that they've done is not just with humanism, not just with this wicked worship with this self-love stuff, which is Satanism, but it's with this rise of witchcraft. And again, people have no idea that this is not a major, only a major sign you're fast approaching the last days, but witchcraft is specifically going to be immersed on a global scale in the last days. Okay? Now, again, you would think 30 years ago, what I'm about to share, that this would be the reality of our country, and you would think it's nuts. That's how fast it's happening. But again, witchcraft has to explode on the scene before the tribulation, because the tribulation, as we're going to see in a second, is going to be flooded specifically with witchcraft. And what have these people done? Well, they've utilized the school, just like with humanism. They've utilized, as we're going to see in a little bit, environmental movement to get their message across. They've utilized, as we're going to see in a minute, Hollywood to get their lies across. And again, so if you and I say witchcraft, we think like, you know, the Salem witch trials, you know, people wearing those black outfits and hats. And No. See, they've gone underground. They've repackaged it. Okay? And one of the things that they've repackaged it, and they're schnookered people, is they just say, no, it's not witchcraft. It's just called Wicca. It's a happy environmental worship. We're just, you know, communing with nature and things of that nature. No, that's called witchcraft. Okay? Whatever you want. They just changed the terminology. In fact, it's already infiltrated our thinking. Now, let me give you some beliefs of witchcraft, and you tell me if it's not already permeated our society. Witchcraft believes that the entire earth is a living, breathing organism and is the manifestation of the mother goddess. Now, wait a second, that kind of sounds in line with the environmental movement, doesn't it? Uh-huh, it sure does. Witchcraft says that the mother female goddess is to be worshipped above all, not a male god. Well, that sounds like feminism, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And if you do your homework on feminism, and you go far enough, you realize that it's a spiritual battle. They're trying to do all that they can to get rid of the patriarchal figure, i.e., a father figure, a figure, and replace it with this female worship. Which, by the way, read your Bible again. Revelation 17 talks about the harlot. It's, you're talking about a female deity, a female global religion system that's going to come on the planet. And, of course, that's what they're pushing. Witchcraft also says that whatever is true for you, this is why it's such a draw, especially with teenagers, whatever is true for you is true for you, there are no absolutes. Well, that kind of, again, sounds like relativism and humanism where man gets to make up the rules. Witchcraft says that in order to contact these gods and goddesses for personal power, because remember, it's all about you, self-love, it's all about you and your self-empowerment. And that's what witchcraft's all about. They say you need to practice astrology, divination, incantation, psychic power, and speaking with the dead. Well, hey, that sounds like what Carl Jung, one of the founders of secular psychology, was involved in. And that's why you're seeing on the Hollywood programs that are being pushed today over and over and over again that are promoting witchcraft. You got the old psychic hotline. You got the John Edwards guy who supposedly is speaking with deceased loved ones, which is a bunch of baloney. Wish we had time to get into that. You got movies out there. You got Charmed. You got this Sabrina, the teenage witch. You got the Harry Potter series. You've got all kinds of things that are being used to promote. Now, people, and this is what's really wacky, is they say, well, hey, the Harry Potter series doesn't you know, promote witchcraft. Now, first of all, if you look at the witches, if you go to the witchcraft websites and if you look at their blogs, they freely are ecstatic. They've been ecstatic for several years now over the Harry Potter series because they freely admit this is some of the best advertisement we could ever hope for. They are actually admitting that ever since the increase of the Harry Potter series, that they are having floods of people, kids, down to kids' level. They're begging to be witches. They're going on websites. They're searching, hoping somehow, some way that they could become a witch, and they're going out there, and they're doing just that. In fact, J.K. Rowling, she admits, here's a quote. She said, I get letters from children addressed to Professor Dumbledore, and it's not a joke. They're begging to be let into Hogwarts, And some of them are really sad, she says, because they want it to be true so badly that they've convinced themselves it's true. British reports are saying that the occult, various forms of occult entertainment in Hollywood, in the media, have fueled a rapid growing interest in witchcraft, especially among children. And they admit every time an article appears on witchcraft or paganism that they get a huge surge of calls, especially from young girls, quote-unquote. A person who's involved in, it's called the Psychic Eye Bookshop. It's the manager, obviously. He's into that stuff. And he freely admits. He says, boy, this is great. He says, it's taken away a lot of the fear. People are more accepting of things like witchcraft and magic after Harry Potter came out.
All right, well, our guest has been Pastor Billy Crone, and we're talking about his program. It's called The Final Countdown, Part 1, Part 2. We're at the end of Part 1, which starts with 10, goes to 6, and next month I hope we'll get from 5 down to 1. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we are living in the last days. How long it'll be, I don't know, but exciting times to know the Lord. Well, Pastor Billy, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program for us.
Well, you know, we're talking about all this witchcraft stuff, and you're going, well, hey, so what's the big deal? Okay, why is this such important?
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Offer DVD part one, part two, each one with five DVDs in it. You'll find them fascinating. Get the two of them together at a reduced price. And then, of course, we will be putting together a four-tape set, which will Actually, you'll have five DVDs in each one, and of course, we'll tell you the story you've heard tonight, including the part where we're actually talking during the breaks. Then, of course, we actually will be carrying, and these will be here very soon, Pastor Billy's set of four or five DVDs on RFID and four or five on creation, the creation evolution story, and vitally important information which we recommend to you. Pastor Billy talked about population control. There is a plan to kill off most of the people on the planet. If you doubt that, you need to get my population control agenda monograph. It's available up on our website. If you get into other items and you ask for a copy, we'll send it to you free of charge. Certainly, we have a four-tape set on population control. We have my talk. Planned population reduction, about 2-hour talk, 2 1/4 hour talk. We have my talk on population control and another one called None Dare Call It Genocide. We have a DVD on that subject put out by Alex Jones entitled Endgame. Goes into the Bilderbergers, but it specifically goes into population control and the Bilderbergers plan to kill off most of the people on the planet, just enough people left over, of course, to serve the ruling elite. The new feudal lords. We also have, of course, a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, books on the Bohemian Grove. We have books, of course, on the Bilderbergers and Bohemian Grove, books on the Bilderbergers, all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And so we hope that you'll want to get some of this material. We hope you'll specifically want to get Pastor Billy Crone's The Final Countdown, his set on RFID. I believe it's 4 or 5 DVDs, and his set on creation. So the information is there, and of course we want you to get it. We want you to show it to others. The talks on The Final Countdown, everyone ends with an invitation to come to know the Lord. And if you've never prayed the sinner's prayer, well, it's about time to acknowledge we all are sinners and we need a Savior. And thank goodness we have one. But these are very effective tools, not only to teach people about what's going on, but also to introduce them to the Lord, which is one reason why we carry them, because that's really the basic reason why we're here. After all, the real reason, of course, is to introduce people to Jesus Christ, but a lot of them aren't going to listen to a preacher. But maybe when they realize how bad things are in the world, they'll start looking for an answer, and there is no other answer. Other than to recognize we're involved in a spiritual battle. There really are demonic forces in the world that are motivating world leaders and, of course, moving us towards another great war, great plagues, great famines, the destruction of society as we know it. And it's already underway. That's what, of course, this whole engineered financial crisis is, and it is an engineered financial crisis. If you've not yet read my November newsletter, it should be posted on our website. If not, you want a free copy of the newsletter, we'll be glad to send it to you. If you'd like to get a free copy of our catalog, we'll be glad to send it to you. We want to remind you our programs are primarily listener-supported, and if you are in a position to help or to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, well, we'd like to hear from you, and you can reach us by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Just a reminder that if you're not haven't laid in your supply of long-term storage food, or got yourself the Berkey water filters, or laid in the supply of the health products you're going to need for if we should have a breakdown in society, you need to keep your immunity up, because I really do believe there are going to be all sorts of new diseases and plagues, and certainly there's things that you can take that will build up your immunity. They're all listed in our catalog. And if you want one, just give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, and then please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Deanna Spingola, and we're going to be talking about her latest article. Now, she's written a series of articles, and you'll find them at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, they're very well done, very well researched. They go into the funding of so much of what's going on today and the wars and the cause of the wars. And, of course, we're never told the truth about the wars we're involved in. And certainly when they tell you, oh, we got into a war with Afghanistan because, we had to get into a war with Afghanistan. We had to retaliate against, of course, the people who attacked the World Trade Center. Well, assuming it was Osama bin Laden, I don't think it was. Certainly, the FBI doesn't think it was, because if you go to the 10 most wanted, FBI 10 most wanted people, and you look up Osama bin Laden, they're not looking for him for what happened on September 11th. They don't have any proof he was involved, but that's supposedly why we went to Afghanistan and got a lot of our boys killed and killed a lot of Afghans. And then, of course, Osama bin Laden escaped into Pakistan. So if we were justified going to war with Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden, why didn't we invade Pakistan and get him? Oh, we couldn't do that. No, we just had to stay there. And we've been fighting for almost going into the eighth year now, fighting there in Afghanistan in a no-win war. And then, of course, we had to attack Iraq, but that was because we had faulty intelligence. Oh, if we just had the right intelligence, if we'd just known, they had the right intelligence. They knew that Saddam Hussein actually had weapons of mass destruction because we'd given him the wherewithal to build them. We'd given the material to build the chemical and bacteriological weapons, and they were all moved into Syria. But we can't tell the American people that, because they're going to be used, those weapons are going to be used against Israel in the coming war that's going to be coming down, and perhaps they'll even be used against America. The weapons, of course, that we had given the chemical and biological material to Saddam to produce. And if you doubt that, we've got a wonderful clipping article out of the Washington Post talking about when an ally becomes an enemy. But let's hear what Deanna has to say, because in her latest article, I was really impressed by it. And Deanna, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I love being on your show.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and we'll just cover the last one of your letters.
Okay. This letter, or this article, was published on December 14th, and it's called The Power Elite Playbook, Fascism and False Flags Equal War. And as you mentioned, we have had some false flags, although certainly they weren't announced in the newspaper as false flags. In fact, we've had several false flags, which is basically when something happens, when we have an attack, or when there's crises or some kind of an explosion or some sort of an incident, then it is blamed on another party. And that is what a false flag is. And even the one in 1898 with the Maine, the battleship Maine in Havana Harbor, was, as we found out later, a false flag. But false flags are something that is used by other countries also. So it's not just America that uses false flag operations.
But, of course, they use the false flag to rally the people behind the war. And so, Gulf of Tonkin incident. After all, we had to retaliate because of the Gulf of Tonkin. A kill of about 2 million North Vietnamese, 1 million South Vietnamese, 58,000 American boys. And then we find out that the Gulf of Tonkin didn't occur, but we had to make the people believe it did.
Right.
You go right ahead.
And the reason that the government uses false flag operations is to get the people outraged and get them behind the war. And, of course, we're not going to go and attack a country for no good reason, so they have to create a reason. And Japan, and this is certainly nothing against the Japanese people at all, but their government also used false flags and has for a long time. And they do it in order for to assist corporations. They go into foreign countries, and in the first Sino-Japanese War, and a Sino-Japanese, it means a war that involved both China and Japan. But the first war that they had was from August 1st, 1894 to April 17th, 1895. It was kind of a fast war. But they went in there, and the first thing that one of the corporations noticed was that all of those wonderful natural resources that were in Manchuria. And so they wanted to start developing those resources. And in order for corporations to develop resources, they get a big loans from the banks. And when the bank makes a loan to a corporation, then they also make money. And so it's in the best interest of a bank to loan money. And one of the banks that loaned money to some of those corporations in Japan was J.P. Morgan. And they also backed the war, the war that Japan raged against Tsarist Russia.
That was the war of 1905, wasn't it?
Right. And they backed that war, and they also sold them, the British sold Japan all of the armaments and the trucks and everything that they needed to fight that war. And banks often back both sides, and they make money from both sides. They make money from the investments they make in corporations that build the armaments and the airplanes and all the other things. So the banks make a lot of money. And we know that Japan was under an emperor. And the emperor at the time of these wars, or just after, he became emperor in like 1927.
Hold that thought. Deanna. Sure. We'll be right back here in just a moment as we bring our stations back on board. But I want them to hear what you're saying, and it's really so important. People understand that wars are never fought for the reason that people are told. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Deanna was going into the background of the wars and starting in this discussion with the Russian-Japanese, the Sino-Japanese war that occurred back, Sino-Russian war that occurred in 1905 when the Japanese, of course, attacked the Russians at Vladivostok and of course, set off this long, it wasn't that long a war, but she's pointing out, of course, that the financiers, the J.P. Morgans were there, other bankers were there, and they were selling Japan the trucks and the military supplies and munitions they needed for the war, because they realized, of course, Japan could conquer Russia. She could get her hands on the natural resources and the minerals that were up there in Manchuria, and then they would be able to help develop those as well. And so there was a tremendous profit to be made in that. Of course, there's always, of course, especially with J.P. Morgan, when you understand he was involved with the occult, of course, he was under the leadership, I believe, of the dark spiritual forces who were, of course, creating a series of wars leading up to World War I, that terrible and horrible bloody war that took place. But the bankers financed the wars. You can't have a war unless you have money. You've got to be able either to have the money, and most people, governments don't have the money, they have to be able to borrow the money. And so we go to the bankers, and the bankers are only too willing and happy to lend the money, at, of course, considerable interest. And what they're doing is, since they can create money out of nothing by the fractional reserve system, why, of course, wars are very, very profitable. If you can create money out of nothing and charge interest on it and get that interest paid and get your principal back, that's pretty good business. Go right ahead, Deanna.
Okay. Now, the Japanese people had to be set up for this. And they were a very ultra-national, which is a superior nation complex. And this was a way that they could bring the people along. And the Japanese people felt that they were more superior than the other Asian people. And their government kind of indoctrinated them that way. There was also secret combinations, secret societies within the Japanese culture that wanted to get rid of some of the military people that had been in before and replace them with other military people who would be more willing to go along with these invasions. And that is what they did. And in Manchuria, there is an area called the Kwantung area, and the army went in there in 1904, and basically they took over that whole area. And what they wanted to do was take over Manchuria. They wanted to go into Soviet Russia. Of course, it wasn't Soviet then, but they wanted to go into Siberia, and they wanted to take over that whole area, because remember that Japan was a very small island nation, and they didn't have the resources that they wanted. And so they looked at their neighbors' resources and decided that that they would like to have those resources. Now, in about 1905, they had about 12,000 willing men who would go in and fight against other nations. And of course, by 1941, that army had increased to 700,000 people. Now, there were conspirators, and they decided that they would create an incident. And this is called the Mukden Incident, and it was on May 31st, 1931. Now, they had other incidents before that. They had engaged in terrorist activities in Manchuria, but the Chinese didn't respond. Now, there was a garrison up near this area where they had this incident. The Japanese had control of the South Manchuria Railway, and this was, the military decided to dynamite it. And they claimed that it was a very vital section of the railway, and actually it wasn't. But they dynamited it, and of course, when the Chinese responded and came running to see what was going on, then they got blamed for it. And so the Japanese used this incident to attack the garrison that was there, the Chinese garrison, and they already had the ammunition and everything in place, just waiting for the Chinese to respond. So everything was ready. The war was already planned. All they needed was the response, the incident, the false flag incident, in order to make that happen. And so after they took over Manchuria, it became an area where a lot of Japanese citizens went to live, because there was a lot of resources there. And Japan, in 1927, had suffered a very huge earthquake at just about devastated Tokyo, and there was also an economic situation in 1927, and so it was about the same as what we're experiencing now. The economy was just horrible. There weren't any jobs, and so about 900,000 Japanese citizens moved to Manchuria, where life was pretty plush for them, because there was jobs. And Nissan, one of the first Zaibatsu, which is a conglomerate. The Zaibatsu in Japan, there are four major Zaibatsus, and they can operate all kinds of industries, not just one thing. Like when we think of Ford, we think of cars. But when we think of Nissan, we think of coal mines, we think of timber, opium production, all kinds of things. And they can run as many as, 500 different companies under one name. And so Nissan went into Manchuria and formed and made their headquarters there and brought people into work. Now, the Russians that had been there, and the Russians had a 25-year lease that they had purchased from China, and they had put in a lot of money in there, and Russian citizens had come. And when the Japanese went in, they more or less took over the whole area, and the Russians lost their investment. And, of course, Russians also, when the Bolshevik Revolution started, a lot of people left Russia and went to Manchuria just to escape communism in Russia. But that's another story. But in the 1920s and 30s in Japan, there were two opposing factions, which is kind of similar to our two-party charade here in this country. But both factions endorsed the same kind of political philosophy. And basically, it was a fascist regime. Now, Japan and Germany were both very dissatisfied with the Versailles Treaty, and for good reason. And so they kind of combined. And then you have Italy, which was also fascist. In fact, it was an Italian who wrote the doctrine, the fascist doctrine. And it was also J.P. Morgan who lent Mussolini $100 million so that he could be successful in taking over the country. And see, so all three of these countries, Germany, Italy, and Japan, were all fascist dictatorships. Now, Japan was still under an emperor, but this emperor was very willing to go along with everything. In fact, he knew about all the things. He knew about the false flag operation. When he heard about it, he said nothing about it. He didn't say, oh, you know, we mustn't do that. He was in full compliance with this. And one of the reasons is because he made a lot of money off of these corporations. Part of the deal with the emperor and the corporations was that he would get a certain percentage of all the profits that the corporations made. He was heavily invested in the major bank there in Japan. He was one of the largest landowners in Japan, and so it was profitable for him also for the corporations to be profitable. So whatever they had to do to seize land and to seize resources in other countries just enriched him. So war was a very profitable thing for the corporations and for the government and his well-connected friends. Now, the people, the typical Japanese person did not know that this was going on. They made minimal wages. It was just a certain percentage, the power elite in Japan, that profited from this kind of this activity. And so when the Zaibatsus, the corporations, became very connected to the emperor, then they had to get rid of some of the people that didn't go along with this. And so they had to have some assassinations. They had far right-wing terrorist organizations. One was called the League of Blood, and it was composed of a lot of student radicals and young Japanese military cadets that were led by an individual, and they decided to get rid of the finance minister. And they did this in 1932. And they also got rid of the director general of Mitsui, which was one of the largest Zaibatsus, but because they figured that he wasn't going to go along with the program of seizure of other people's resources.
We'll be back here in just a moment, of course, here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Deanna Spingola. Go right ahead, Deanna.
Okay, so some of the older military people wanted to
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
To go along with it, and they established, of course, this attack on China. Now, it's expensive to have wars, and so the only way that they could have wars was, of course, to keep printing money. They took Japan off the gold standard. They kept printing money and more money and more money, and eventually, of course, they destroyed the value of the life savings of the Japanese people, just like they are in the process of destroying the life savings of the people here in the United States by massively increasing the money supply, and that's what this whole scam, this current crisis is. They put out over $8 trillion so far this year. Most people have no idea and can't even find out where Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke have spent $2 trillion, and they won't tell anybody what they've done with it. It's a trade secret. That's why they won't. And, of course, what they're doing is, in effect, destroying the value of the life savings of the American people. And so this is what happened in Japan. And now more and more people are becoming impoverished in Japan as Japan fights a war of aggression in China. But, of course, they justify this. Well, you know, we're superior to them. And, of course, it's more room for our people. And not only that, but we're going to get the natural resources. But Deanna was saying that some of the people were so poor they actually had to sell their children into prostitution. You pick up the story there, Deanna.
Right. They were very, very poor. And, of course, it's major corporations and the leaders of these corporations and government leaders who benefit financially from these wars.
Because then the wars are used to destroy the currency and impoverish the people, exactly
right,
as is going on in the United States. So go ahead. The parallels are really rather frightening.
Right. Nobody really wins a war. And as I mentioned before, there were three fascist nations, Japan, Germany, and Italy. And they all have certain characteristics. And I'm going to list these characteristics. And I think that we can also apply these characteristics to our own country. Okay. These include extreme forms of patriotism and nationalism, an authoritarian, hierarchical, highly centralized government, the neutralization of individual rights, economic regimentation due to covert complicity between big corporations and government officials. Now, we recognize that many of the corporations that are active currently in Iraq are very well connected to the administration. You have Halliburton, you have Brown, you have corporations there, Blackwater, for instance, which have received no-bid contracts that currently enrich people in the administration. You have Carlyle, who is a big wartime contractor, and these people are getting rich off of the destruction of other countries. You know, you go into a country, you destroy all the infrastructure, you destroy the bridges, you destroy electrical power plants, you destroy all that, and then you go in and say, then the corporations go in and say, oh, you know, we're going to have to build this up, and so they rebuild what they've destroyed.
In fact, we've spent almost $100 billion now of rebuilding Iraq, to rebuild all the things that we destroyed. They had a functioning society. They had electricity. They had water. They had sewage. Today, after all these years in Iraq and $100 billion, they still don't have electricity on a regular basis or water on a regular basis or sewage on a regular basis after $100 billion of rebuilding what we destroyed.
Right.
And we can thank Mr. Bush for that. And,
right.
And in fact, go ahead.
Well, you know, the privatization of other services. Take, for instance, the military in Iraq. It used to be that the military, a soldier, would wash his own clothes. But now there's another corporation that has been employed to wash clothes. And they can charge $100 for a laundry bag of clothes, and the government pays it. And these corporations that are doing this are well connected to the current administration. And it's just a scam to enrich the corporations.
And, of course, especially Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root, their association with Dick Cheney, who accidentally was getting what they call deferred compensation, whatever that is, for a number of years, serving as vice president, getting a salary there, but getting a deferred compensation from Halliburton. Do you think there might have been a conflict of interest there?
Absolutely.
Hold that. We'll be right back. Well, Deanna, go right ahead.
Okay, so you had the same kind of situation in Japan. And additionally, in addition to the complicity between big corporations and government officials, other characteristics of fascism include suppression of opposition through media vilification. In other words, our media, our current media here in this country, is owned by five corporations. Those five corporations also make money off of warfare. So they're never, ever really going to say anything that's anti-war. They're going to promote war, and they're going to vilify those who want to oppose it. And that is one of the characteristics. There's also the militarization.
Go right ahead. Right. That's a real tongue twister.
Of the local police. Now, it used to be that police were peace officers, and you could go to your police department for help. The peace officer at the corner would be your friend, and now they look like they look like the military. They carry weapons. Their gear is totally different, and people are very intimidated by the way that they look. And so that's another characteristic. Military appointments are based on a corporate agenda. Now, some of the wonderful generals that we have had in the past, and my favorite hero, a military hero, and I don't have many, I only have one, is Smedley Butler. And he, right away, he began to think, well, you know, this doesn't make sense. We're going into Haiti, we're going into China, we're going into these countries, and it seems that all we're doing is protecting Standard Oil or United Fruit. And so this is not the kind of general that they wanted to have, that Japan wanted to have, or that the United States wanted to have. They wanted generals that would go along with the corporate agenda. And so you have to ask yourself, well, what kind of generals do we have now? Because they apparently are going along with the administration and certainly are not protecting our rights. You know, we're not even supposed to have a standing army. The Constitution was set up so that we would defend our country. We were not to attack other countries. We're not to invade other countries. Constitutionally, we are not to have a standing army.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Deanna was saying, which is really so true, if you go back and you read the Constitution, we were not to have a standing army. Our founders feared a standing army. We would have a cadre that we could build an army on if we were attacked. But they knew, our founding fathers knew, that if we had a strong standing army, it would be used for all sorts of imperialism. There were people at the time our Constitution was created, including Benjamin Franklin, who, if you've ever read that statement that he made, where he talks about, you know, I've lived a long time, sir. And the longer I live, the more convinced I am of this fact, that God rules in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall without his knowledge, can a great empire be raised without his blessing? Well,
right.
Most people were not concerned about an empire, but of course, Benjamin Franklin was part of the mystery religions, the secret societies at that time, and he knew what the plan was, and that of America was to be used to create this one world order. And they would use our military and financial power to bring it about. But the founding fathers didn't want a standing army because they knew that the best way to impoverish our people and, of course, to take away our freedom was to get involved in wars with other countries to try to bring freedom to other lands. And that, as once said, men who go overseas to fight for freedom will find that they have lost it at their own homes. Well, anyway, of course, pick up the story there, Deanna.
Okay, so in fascist nations, military appointments are based on corporate agendas. There's also the government of a fascist nation wants to propagate fear of communism, terrorism, and they use false flags and etc. to control the population and usurp individual freedom.
And I think that's so important. They create the fear of communism. Why will we have to have an all-powerful government to save us from the wicked communists who are going to come over and take away our freedom? But they never bring out that it is the very people in this country, the great capitalist, even our Federal Reserve System, finance communism from its very inception, and finance communism in communist China today. We build up the oil potential, production potential. If you haven't seen my little pamphlet on the communist-capitalist alliance, you need to get it. We've created the best enemy money could buy. That's what it's about. The best enemy money could buy, because you have to have an enemy if you're going to rally the people behind the flag. Go right ahead, Deanna.
Exactly. And so people look to the government to protect them, when in fact it's the government. Government is force. Government is force. And we the people are losing our rights, our individual freedoms, and we look to the government to protect us against these things that the government has built up. And there in fascism, you see a devised consolidation of business. Now, we've seen outsourcing in our country recently. We've seen consolidation of business, and we've heard recently that these companies are going out of business if we don't come in and provide billions of dollars in funds. And yet these companies have major businesses in other lands, in other countries. They are flush in other countries.
And let me just point out what Deanna is saying. Excuse me, General Motors just opened a $300 million plant in Moscow. They are the second largest automobile producer in China. They are opening a $3 billion plant, building it down in Brazil. And now they're asking the federal government to give them money so that they can operate here. No, they're transferring their wealth to other countries, their production base to other countries, and we're simply going to give them the money so that they can continue affording to build up their market throughout the rest of the world. And why is it when we have all these smart people reporting on what General Motors is doing and demanding that they get the money, and if we don't give them the money, 3 million people are going to lose their jobs here in the United States? Why doesn't anybody ever mention their plants in China, in Russia, and in Brazil? That's General Motors, and Ford has them elsewhere. Go right ahead.
Right. But we don't hear anything about that, because remember that the media is owned by these same corporations. Now, there was another false flag on July 7th of 1937, and this was at the Marco Polo Bridge, which is outside of Peking, which is now known as Beijing. This incident was similar to the original one at Mukden, and it escalated the Japanese invasion of China, which was supposed to be over in 3 months. Now, we often think that the war started in 1941, but the war actually started in 1937, and Japan went into China, they went into Shanghai, they went into Nanking, and at that point in time, President Roosevelt threatened to sanction China, or Japan, but there were a lot of people in Congress who were backed by the bankers, who were financed by the bankers, who were owned by the bankers, and they said, oh, no, let it go. Because remember that J.P. Morgan had interest in the corporations in Japan, and they wanted to protect their investments in Japan, Manchuria, Korea, and Taiwan. And so this false flag operation was basically started a bloody siege in Shanghai. They killed thousands and thousands of people, in Shanghai. And then they went into Nanking. Now, the prime minister at that time was a prince who had just been placed into that situation. And there was another general who was made a general who was asked by the emperor to please take over and become the Commander-in-Chief of the Imperial Army for the Shanghai Expeditionary Force. Now, this general, his name was Matsui, Iwane Matsui, and he was a very sickly individual. And he was chronically ill. And so he was not going to be much help. And I think that he was actually a patsy, because what they did in Nanking and what they had planned to do in Nanking, now keep in mind, I mentioned in a previous article, that Emperor Hirohito had decided that they would not honor any of the
treaties of some sort?
Agreements? The Geneva Conventions.
Geneva Conventions,
which said, okay, you have to treat victims of war in a certain way. You have to treat prisoners of war in a certain way. You cannot torture them. You have to treat them humanely. And he did away with all of that before they invaded China. Now, remember that they felt that the Chinese people were very way beneath them, and so it didn't matter how they treated them. And so Hirohito did away with all the humane aspects of the Geneva Conventions, and so when they went into Nanking, they did this in December, on December 13th of 1937. And General Matsui was asked to be the in charge. And I believe that Hirohito knew that he could not function. And he was only in Nanking for 3 days. And then Prince Asaka, who was a relative of Hirohito's, went in, and he personally directed all the atrocities that were perpetrated against the people in Nanking. Now, they had decided that the only way to break the power of Chiang Kai-shek was by capturing Nanking and absolutely decimating it. And interestingly enough, Chiang Kai-shek left the city of Nanking. He had more people. He was militarily better equipped, and yet all of a sudden, for no reason given, he left the city wide open to the Japanese attack. And later we learned that he was paid off. He was given $3 million by one of the banking families to leave, which left Nanking completely open. And there was a book written about the rape of Nanking. It was by Iris Chang. And she basically wrote the first book in English that described some of the horrific incidences that happened in that city. And there was more people killed in the city of Nanking and the surrounding area than were killed during the in a six-week period of time, than were killed in countries during World War II. There was as many as 500,000 people just in the surrounding area and in Nanking by the Japanese. It was just absolutely horrific what they did to these people.
Well, was that family that paid off Chiang Kai-shek, was that the Sung family?
Yes, it was the Sung family, which was very well connected to the British royalty.
Right. And of course, I think another thing people have to understand is that Hirohito was a member of the Order of the Garter, which was a secret British society that dates back to the 1400s. Most people have never heard of it, but you can read it up on the Internet. The Order of the Garter, and of course it involves the leaders from throughout the world including, of course, both before and after the Second World War, the Emperor of Japan tied into the British royalty. And, of course, then, of course, the atrocities his troops created, of course, could be directly related to his affiliation with his secret occult society, the Order of the Garter, of which very few people have ever even considered, but a major player even today. Go right ahead.
Well, that's very interesting. And, you know, sometimes we just do not look at the secret societies and realize how much power they have.
In fact, it's so interesting. It's beautifully written up on Wikipedia. I recommend the write-up on that to any of our listeners out there who doubt that there really are secret societies. Have existed throughout the millennia, listed throughout the centuries, and still exist today. Go right ahead.
Okay. And we have them in our country. Now, Hirohito was completely aware of the atrocities that were committed in Nanking. And, you know, war is not just for seizing resources. It's for eliminating the population. And we certainly know that there are documents in place for depopulating the world. But he had previously suspended the Geneva Conventions, and he was informed of the atrocities. He didn't condemn them. He didn't attempt to prevent further atrocities. In fact, he rewarded the three generals that were associated with Nanking with a pair of silver vases. And he had them to his home and at the Imperial Summer Palace, and rewarded them and praised them for the job well done. Now, in October of 1937, he had set up the Imperial General Headquarters. So he knew everything that was going on. He had complete control over the Japanese Army, the Navy. He met with them regularly. He dressed in uniform. He was totally in charge of the Army, the Navy, the military of Japan. Of course, after the war, they claimed that he knew nothing about what went on, and they basically whitewashed him so they could put him right back in power. But he knew exactly what was going on. In fact, he was in his full military uniform the night of the attack against Pearl Harbor. He was dressed in his military uniform and was in communication with the general that was in charge of that attack against Pearl Harbor. Of course, Roosevelt and Churchill were also aware of that attack against Pearl Harbor. But anyway, there was an individual, the prime minister, decided that Asia was for Asians, and they wanted to get rid of all foreign interest in the country. That wasn't quite true, but what they were trying to do was establish what is called the Greater East Asian Co-Prosperity Sphere, which would include Japan, China, and Manchuria. Now, basically, when you're talking about trade agreements, and we know about CAFTA, we know about NAFTA, we know about other trade agreements, and this was basically a trade agreement. And a trade agreement, really what it does is breaks down the sovereignty of nations so that corporations can come in and exploit cheap labor and also exploit resources. And so early on, they were talking about and establishing prosperity spheres. And, of course, Japan was interested in not just China and Manchuria, but they were interested in all 12 countries that were involved in this prosperity sphere. And they had a plan, of course, to attack Pearl Harbor. It was not a secret. The United States government knew about it. Joseph Grew, who was the U.S. ambassador to China, and he was installed as the U.S. ambassador of China by President Herbert Hoover. And he basically promoted warfare. Now, an ambassador, we always think of an ambassador as just somebody that goes to state dinners and just, you know, is kind of a friendly face of other countries within a foreign country. And that just isn't true. An ambassador really promotes, like a U.S. ambassador in a foreign country, promotes U.S. interests, meaning U.S. corporate interests. And so Joseph Grew, who was the ambassador, I believe he was appointed in 1932, to Japan, had promoted warfare, even to the extent that he provided them with the necessary elements of warfare. When they took down the overhead railroad in New York, all of that steel went to Japan, and that was something that was essential to the production of warfare for that country.
Well, we're going to have to interrupt you right there. Our guest has been Deanna Spingola. If you'd like to get her articles, they're at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, a very great source of information. Pull them down, read them. Go right ahead.
Okay.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Not go up on the internet and just Google in a Wikipedia at the Order of the Garter, or Wikipedia and certainly Order of the Garter and Hirohito. You find out Hirohito was a member of this secret British society. for monarchs, and of course these are the people who create the wars, and of course work in hand in glove with international finance, and behind that powerful spirits of forces. Well, if you really want to understand so much what's going on today, let me suggest our four tape set on Pearl Harbor. And we actually have a book on Pearl Harbor as well. And you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We actually have a talk I gave called Iraq, the Untold Story. And there's a syllabus goes with that. Goes into all of the background of all the wars. And of course, the Philippine-American War, which most people have never heard of, where our troops were sent over to slaughter the Filipinos, and they killed between 500,000 and, pardon me, 500,000 and 2 million Filipinos. And you've never heard this discussed at all. And what was the Filipinos' crime? They wanted to be free. They did not want to replace the Spanish monarchy with the American monarchy. But they didn't understand that this was the first stepping stone towards where we are today, where we now have troops stationed in 131 nations throughout the world as we move towards the empire. You need, of course, to get the book we carry, it, The Secret History of the American Empire, the tape set that goes with that, The Economic Hitman, and the other book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, to understand how it works. You need to understand Vietnam. We've got a four-tape set called Vietnam. We've got a force tape set on the men we left behind, the prisoners we abandoned in Vietnam. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they abandoned them, and we can thank Senator John Kerry and John McCain for the cover-up back in 1990 and 1991, when the Senate was supposed to investigate to find out if we'd left any men behind. And, of course, it was John McCain's job, and John McCain, as a prisoner of war, had gone over to the other side and made propaganda films and broadcasts for the North Vietnamese, while his fellow prisoners adhered to their oath that they'd sworn to America. And many of them were tortured to death for that, but not John McCain, of course. But you're never going to hear this, but in the controlled medium, and John Kerry was a traitor as well. Was there, I think, for about 3 months, falsified, you know, 3 Purple Hearts so he could come home and become a spokesman against the war. And there's nothing wrong with being a spokesman against the war. But John Kerry, of course, came from a secret Luciferian society, the same secret Luciferian society that George W. Bush comes from. And when both of them were asked by Tim Russert about the Skull and Bone Society, both of them said, why, it's so secret we can't discuss it. But if you want to see the initiation ceremony, the Luciferian initiation ceremony, go to WilliamHKennedy.com. That's WilliamHKennedy.com website, and you'll actually see the videos of her film at great personal risk. To the man who took them, I suspect he would not be here if he'd been caught, but the film is there, and it shows the Luciferian ceremony as the initiate into the Skull and Bones bows before a replica of Lucifer. And, of course, in 2004, both presidential candidates, the Republican and the Democrat, came from the same society that bows before Lucifer when they were inducted. Maybe that explains why we've killed almost 1 million people over in Iraq, and the fact that the media is controlled explains why we never talk about all the Iraqi civilians who've been killed, and women.